Hi, this is Lawrence Krauss, and you're listening to the CA.
Once you assume a creator and a plan, it makes us objects in a cruel experiment whereby we are created sick and commanded to be well. I'll repeat that. Created sick and then ordered to be well. And over us to supervise this is installed a celestial dictatorship, a kind of divine North Korea. Greedy, exigent, I would say more than exigent, greedy for uncritical praise from dawn till dusk, and swift to punish the original sins with which it so tenderly gifted us in the very first place. However, let no one say there's no cure. Salvation is offered. Redemption, indeed, is promised at the low price of the surrender of your critical faculties.
Welcome to the CA, a podcast about news, current events, and commentary on all things atheism from a Canadian perspective. This podcast carries the explicit tag and wears it like a motherfucking badge of honor. So if you get offended, switch off. The CA records each Sunday live from Apostasy Studios. For more, please visit our Facebook page for the latest news, updates, and previews on some upcoming shows. You can email us at theca@rogers.com, and if we're amused or tweaked by your email, we'll use it on the show. And now, here are Michael and Dean.
All right, hello, and welcome to the CA. Today is Sunday, August 6th. I am Michael.
I am Dean.
Okay, and we are, I guess technically this is episode 19, brother.
I know. Where does the time go?
Well, we're not sure about that, but
but we are sure it's linear and only goes in one direction.
Exactly. So, oh man, we got a lot to get to today. I did print out a fallacy for today, although I'm not as angry as I was week four last. A couple of the stories that I remember how last time we were going to talk about how inclusive God's love was when you get a chance to talk to that. So I printed out a bunch of shit. Which should be interesting because it's very inclusive. And then we've got a couple of other...
We know how inclusive God's love is.
Exactly. We've got a couple other things to get to, and we'll work on our series as well and then see what kind of trouble we get into as far as that goes. So, Christian Week Magazine.
But wait. Lawrence Krauss in the middle of the week.
Yes.
As a bumper to this week. That was pretty awesome.
Yes.
That we actually got him on the line. I am very unhappy that I was not able to be there. It seems like you're hogging all the interviews.
Yeah, that's right. It's my secret plan.
That's what I get for not putting any effort into the show.
No, it's my secret plan to hog all the fame.
I was like, I listened to the show and I was like, oh, but why didn't you ask him? But what?
Yeah.
That's like if I was on the show, it would have been a much longer show.
Well, hopefully, we can get him on the line again. This only took a few months, right? to put together. But no, I'm a super crazy busy man. And so hopefully we can tie him down again.
Yeah.
So you can ask him all the questions that... when he said that
about the IAS, how he doesn't think it's money well spent, that I kind of took me aback. I wanted to ask him questions about that and dig a little deeper there.
Yeah, I think when he was saying, you know, that there's only really one physics thing going on there, and that the funding was ill-gotten, and I think from my perspective, I didn't feel comfortable questioning him because he obviously knows a lot more about than I do. But
science is science, no matter where it happens, no matter how it happens. I mean, because you never know what you're going to get out of it until it actually happens, right? I mean, how many serendipitous discoveries have brought us to the world that we're in today.
Like a box of chocolate. You never know what you're going to get. Yeah. Then it's definitely reason to try to get him on the line again. And I have to remember this week to send his lovely, absolutely lovely assistant, Jessica. Hello, Jessica, if you're listening to this. Jessica, a thank you email. For making things just so painless. She was a pleasure to work with, even if it was only via email and and one phone call.
Awesome.
So, lastly, just before we get into this, I'm once again blown away. I posted a little message on Facebook, and we wanted to say thank you again, because I'm blown away. I'm fucking floored by the people that are interested. I can't believe you want to listen to us. No,
Well, that's yet to be seen whether they like us or not.
Yeah. But the support that we're getting from quite literally all over the world, and I know we said this before, and I didn't post anything on Facebook about it because I didn't want to seem like I was kind of like, look at us. But I will mention just a little something here, that that we are now getting support from 48 countries.
That is insane.
From around the world. And some crazy, like, fucking United Arab Emirates.
I know.
And Morocco. And, like, just places I was like, huh?
I feel a little nervous now knowing that so many people are listening from all over the place.
Well, I don't give a fuck.
Now I should actually get a t-shirt that says, I'm famous on the internet.
Oh, hey! Hey! Yeah, I guess so. I guess so, yeah. Of course, now, like, every tags, who's gonna be like, fuck those guys, man. Unsubscribe.
Two.
Yeah, unsubscribe. Yeah. So thank you again. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for all the tremendous support. And we will continue to try to work really hard to make this show fucking awesome.
Yes.
And something that you want to add into your podcast feed every single week. So let's jump right into it before you so rudely interrupted me. Christian Week Magazine. This story, we started to talk about this last week and then ran out of time. Al Hebert from Christian Week Magazine, he's a regular columnist.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a lovely article that's entitled...
Hit me with it.
How Inclusive is God's Love?
Yeah.
God's love is absolutely inclusive. In all of his... Now, I fucking hate this. Right off the fucking... Fuck you. Right off the bat. Because one, they put his with a capital H.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that. In all of his creation. And how many times have I talked about this? What do you think the first fucking Bible verse they quote is?
Love thy neighbor?
No. John 3:16. We all know John 3:16 makes the claim explicit. For God so loved the world, yuckity yuckity, jerkity jerkity. How much more inclusive could God's love be? Certainly our love would not be equally inclusive. For one, I believe this. So what he's basically saying here is God's love is perfect and we're all schleps and we should just try to, you know, live up to that. Well, I got news for you, Al Hebert. I did a little bit of research, something I don't think you've ever done. And I'd like to talk a little bit about just how fucking inclusive God's love is.
Yeah.
And I went to your source book, the motherfucking Bible. So let's look at this. Dean, would you think that, I don't know, cold-blooded murder would be something that would maybe, just maybe, just a tick, take it to the point where you would say that your love isn't all-inclusive?
That would be one of the things.
Okay, good. Okay, so let's see. This is all in no particular order. And for any of you who are, typically, right, we do a better job.
Yeah.
Atheists.
Oh, for sure.
We know the Bible much better than the average Christian does. So, most of this, I'm not going to take credit for this. Some of this was taken from me, stuff that I already knew, and some of it was taken from an absolutely glorious, glorious, truly glorious website called evilbible.com. Go on there, look it up. They have, like, murder in the Bible, rape in the Bible,
torture, the blessed and lovely things.
Oh, and there's another one. Fuck, I forgot to look up the author. The book is called Drunk with Blood, and if you just Google that, the title Drunk with Blood, it'll come up. It's basically, it looks like a cross with blood all over it, and it's basically all of the murders, and I think the author tallies up something like 2.5 million deaths, where God is either, the God of the Bible is either responsible for either taking action himself, like the flood, or ordering, like... 1 Samuel 15:3, when he orders God to slaughter all the orders Joshua to slaughter the Amalekites. So, let's just have a little gander at how inclusive this cold-hearted motherfucker's love is. Okay, kill people who don't listen to priests. Anyone arrogant enough to reject the verdict of a judge or a priest, yada, yada, yada. Deuteronomy 17, 12. And again, it says, anyone who is arrogant enough to reject the verdict of a judge should be put to death. This next verse is likely responsible, and there's a lot of debate about this, because nobody, sadly, there wasn't a lot of census taking going on during the Inquisitions. So we don't know how many witches were killed.
Were killed, yeah. Right? Burned at the stake. Or
I read an article once that Sam Harris said it was... that the figure is somewhere around 10 to 20,000.
Jesus.
And there are some people, but there are some people that think much more than that. But Exodus 22, 17 clearly says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live.
Right. That sounds very inclusive, his love.
Oh, yeah. And who can forget the little gem, Leviticus 20, 13? If a man lays with a man as he does a woman, both of them shall be put to death for their abominable deed.
Yes. There was a lot of being put to death in those days.
Kill really? Fortune tellers. A man or woman who acts as a medium or a fortune teller shall be put to death. Leviticus 20, 27.
So, wait. Yeah. So, a medium or a fortune teller.
Yeah.
So, like, those people on TV right now that supposedly speak with the dead, yeah, and they should be killed
too. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, you should be killing them.
Yeah.
And if you're not killing them, you're just making a fucking excuse, and you're a shitty Christian. Now, your son...
Yes.
Because right? I know this happened with my daughter. When my daughter was young, she would, you know, when they're starting to test boundaries and shit like that, she would hit me. Right? She would be slap and stuff like that. And the way we solved it was she was maybe four. And I said, okay, it's okay if you want to play the hitting game. We'll play the hitting game. And she kind of gave me this look like, the fuck are you talking about? And so I said, so you can hit me if you want, but then if you hit me, I get to hit you back. And she was looking like, huh? And she's like, but I don't want you to hit me. I said, well, then you can't hit me either.
Yeah.
And she never tried to hit me again.
Well, I mean, we have a bit of a hitting problem now with our younger one. He's not even two yet. And he was doing the open hand kind of slap. Now he's got a closed fist and actually punches. I don't know where he got it from,
but
he got it somewhere. And so he's punching now. So we're telling him, you know, gentle hands.
Right.
But my older son also did the same thing. He got into a hitting phase, and we said, and at the school, when he was in school, and they said hands are for helping, not for hurting. So he'd repeat that. And so, it got better from there. I don't know if it's boys or kids in general. They go through a phase where I think it has something to do with they're not able to articulate what's going on.
I think you're absolutely right.
So they just lash out physically.
I think you're absolutely right. The Bible has the answer.
Okay.
The Bible has the fucking answer, right?
Okay, well, let me know.
some of you have heard this gem before, by the acronym for Bible, Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth. Barf. So hit your mom or dad. Exodus 21:15 is really clear. Whoever strikes his mother or father shall be put to death.
Yeah.
Yep. Fucking kill
him. Wasn't there? There's another line in there about being disobedient children should be led out to the town square and stoned to death.
Yep, cursing your parents. Proverbs 20:20. If you curse your mother or father, you should be cast into darkness. I don't know if that's the same as
darkness.
I'm not sure if it's the same as murder.
Like put in a cave with the door shut or something. Or
exactly.
What?
Yeah. Now this one here. So now we're moving into like if you violate like any of the big ten.
Okay.
The Ten Commandments. So death for adultery. If a man commits adultery with another man's wife, Leviticus 20:10, he should be put to death.
Now, the woman is married, but it doesn't matter if the man who's sleeping with her is married?
I guess I'm not sure. I guess we'd have to bring in someone more skilled at the Bible than we are.
Are they both put to death?
It doesn't say that. At least it doesn't say it in this verse. I'll have to do some more research.
Okay.
Okay. Death for fornication.
Uh-ohs.
Yeah, exactly. A daughter who loses her honor by committing fornication and thereby dishonors her father, she'll be put to death. Leviticus 21:9.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. Anyone who follows another religion. Because, of course,
You have to believe in this
guy. Here we go, right? Because the Bible is obviously the only true one, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay. So if you whoever sacrifices to another god except the Lord alone, shall be doomed. This is interesting. So does this mean that according to this, there was the admission that other gods existed?
Because it that's, sure seems it's, like it leaves the door open for that. But yeah. I mean, it's, I think they're saying that this is the only God. So if you believe that there are others, then you're wrong and you're going to hell.
Okay, that's Exodus 22:19. Killing non-believers, we're fucked. Second Chronicles, or as Donald Trump would say, 2 Chronicles.
that's why he did say that.
Oh, he said 2 Corinthians, but
yeah.
Second Chronicles 15:12-13. Anyone who is a non-believer shall be. I'm just paraphrasing some of this. Any man or woman who disbelieves shall be put to death. Here's a good one, and it kind of ties into fornication a little bit. Kill women who are not virgins on their wedding night.
And how do you know?
Well, I don't. Well, I don't. I wouldn't think that they'd be that well versed in human biology that they would know that, you know, when you break the hymen. That
well, yeah, but that's not blood. Necessarily no. going to be there.
Well, you might be fucked anyway. Because so paraphrasing Deuteronomy 22:20-21, if you find out that your wife is not a virgin when you get married, you take her to her father's doorstep and you kill her.
But how do you know?
I don't know. We're talking. Listen, that's we're talking about God's inclusive love.
Like this is 2,000 years ago. They're yep. not. They're not exactly gonna do like you know like take them to the gynecologist and do an inspection. How yep. do you know if there's no blood? Then automatically that means that she's not a virgin.
Yeah.
Doesn't the hymen get broken on, by its own anyway?
I never had one of my own, but.
But I mean, like, who the fuck knows?
I don't know. I don't know. Let's carry on. Death for blasphemy. I have, this may be one of the ones, oddly enough, okay, I can't say that I have the biggest problem with it, but I have a real problem with this, because the idea of blasphemy, so basically pissing, you know, like speaking poorly
mm-hmm.
of something
mm-hmm.
that we haven't demonstrated to be real yet.
Now, if I say, because I've said it a bunch of times in the show, if I go like, Jesus Christ, like, I can't believe that, is that God blasphemy? Goddammit,
blasphemy.
Yeah, is that blasphemy, yeah. or is that just taking the Lord's name in vain? Is that the same thing?
I don't know. That's a good one. Send us an email to ca@rogers.com and let us know what would qualify as blasphemy or not. But here's something interesting. Now how fucked am I for Jesus titty fucking Christ? Because that's one of my favorite lines. I think I'm really fucked. Anyway, Leviticus 24:10-16 clearly outlines it. That
I mean, this is from a book that's 2,000 years old. That's still on the books in some places today.
Yes,
apostasy. Has the crime or is considered a crime where the punishment is death. I mean, they don't usually carry it out that far, but it is there. It's written down today. Yep,
exactly. So now some people will say this is, this from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Kill anyone who approaches the tabernacle. Numbers 1:48-51. If you even approach the tabernacle, where the Ark of the Covenant is,
yeah,
put to death.
I was just going to the bathroom.
It was a shortcut. Killing people for working on the Sabbath.
Yep.
Exodus.
Now, how long has that been going on? I mean, if you're going to follow the Bible to the letter,
yep.
I mean, how long have people been working on the Sabbath? I mean, stores were closed on Sunday for a long time. I remember when I was a kid, stores were closed
Sunday
on Sunday.
Shopping wasn't the
but
thing in Ontario.
Saturday they're open.
Fuck yeah, which is the real Sabbath.
Which is the Sabbath. And they've been open on Saturdays for the longest time.
That's right. But
listen, now they're open on Sundays too.
Anyone who desecrates it must die. It says it right here, right in black and white.
Now, I always had a question, because like, say Sunday, let's just say for the sake of argument that Sunday is the sacred
Sabbath,
day
yeah.
and needs to be... you can't work on Sundays. Now, a priest, you go to church and there's a priest, you know, at the pulpit, whatever, giving a sermon. Isn't that his job? Isn't he working on Sunday?
I guess.
So shouldn't he be put to death?
I don't know. But there's a few other good ones. This one's one of my favorites. So you remember, are you familiar with the story of Elisha?
Mm-hmm.
Second Kings or Two Kings.
Two Kings.
Yeah. 2:23-24. Basically, Elijah is going up, is going for, I don't know where he's walking somewhere, right? And there's a bunch of children, mm-hmm. 42 children.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taunting him. And they're saying, you know, basically, you know, go up, bald head, go up, bald head. I'd kill them little motherfuckers, too, because I'm bald, too.
There's nothing wrong with being bald.
Right. Now, the prophet Elijah cursed them in the name of the Lord, and two she-bears, the Bible says she-bears.
She-bears.
She-bears from two kings came out from the forest and slaughtered 42 children.
Wow.
Train the Bible. How are you feeling about that inclusivity right
inclusive,
now?
Inclusive. Yep. Everybody's loved. Everybody under his creation is loved.
Yep.
Except for... Except.
Exactly. Now, not just you, right? So I'm a sinner, clearly, right?
Oh, well, yeah.
But even my sons and daughters should be killed.
What?
Yep. Make ready to slaughter the sons and daughters for the guilt of their fathers.
Wow.
Isaiah 14:21.
So it carries, it's generational.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then there's all kinds of other fun stuff, like when Moses brings upon the plagues against Egypt, slaughtering the firstborn.
Yep.
How many thousands died there? Well, I guess we don't know. Well, I guess the only good thing there is that we're pretty sure it never happened.
Very inclusive.
Because there's no geological record of slavery ever being a thing in Egypt.
You mean these are another one of those things where there's no evidence?
Yeah. Yeah. The killing at the walls of Jericho, thousands of people. Joshua 6, 20 through 21. I got fucking pages and pages.
I'm feeling the love here, Michael. It's so inclusive.
So I'm just going to flip back here to this little bastard, Al Hebert. Al, why don't you read your Bible a little bit before you go telling me how inclusive, if, and there's no evidence that it's true, if the God of the Bible is real, he is an absolute monster. And is responsible for more death and destruction than anyone else I can think
and
of.
And they always come out with the thing, oh, that's the Old Testament. The New Testament changed it all around. Right. And we both know that the New Testament does not erase the old.
Do not think I have come to abolish the law. I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it.
Yes.
Matthew 10:34.
Not a jot or tittle of the old law will change.
Exactly.
Everything that is in the Old Testament is still in the New Testament, still stands, it still goes.
Yep. Okay, moving on. Got another story here from Dion Oxford, who's a Christian Week columnist. Fucking love Christian Week, man. They're great.
They give us so much ammo.
They're fucking great, man. So, reconsidering, the idol is titled Reconsidering Joy in the Face of a Difficult Life. I've been focusing a lot lately on the idea of joy. I've noted in my studies that the word joy and rejoice shows up throughout the entire Bible over 400 times, whereas the word happy shows up only around 10 times. There's obviously a very clear distinction in the Bible between the value of joy and the value of happiness. I'm not sure what the difference is myself.
I would like to know how much the word death shows up in the Bible. He shall be put to death, stoned with stones until they are dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, things like
that. Hey, Dion. Can you do some research for us? And the next time you got nothing to do for a little while, find out how many times death occurs in the Bible and let us know about that, eh? All right. So as I've looked at this, I've been mainly captured by the passage in James, chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, which implores the reader to consider it pure joy, sisters and brothers, whereas you face trials of many kinds, because you know that it is the testing of your faith which develops perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. And then the story goes on, a little bit of an anecdotal thing, talking about people who endured multiple sclerosis all this time. Like for this person battling multiple sclerosis for 20 years and having to use a scooter to get around. Another person battling all kinds of other ailments and shit like that. And so what it basically boils down to is you have to pray.
Of course, because we all know that prayer is the one and only way to get what you want.
And I love Dion's prayer. that he put together. I'm going to read it. Dion's prayer they put together. Because I, well, I'm just going to read it. I'm just going to read it.
Let's do it.
God, I'm not going to lie. Life is hard. Why does it have to be this way? Why can't you make it easier for me? Why can't you make it easier for others? I guess you're using me. My struggle. My pain. My trials of many kinds. My joy. For your good, give me the strength, the wisdom, the patience, to consider everything that comes my way. Pure joy. Amen. What the fuck does that mean? So, okay. I'm reminded of that piece of bile reminded me of a great website that I encourage all you to check out. It's called Why Won't God Heal Amputees.com.
Yep.
Fucking hysterical.
It is.
And there's a really cool guy. His name's Edward Current. You can look him up on YouTube.
Yeah, he's great.
Ed Current. Really, really funny stuff. He has all those funny memes that say, you know, checkmate atheists and shit like that. Really, really funny shit. But when you see all the shit, we talked last week, right, about the eight richest pastors.
Yeah.
And one of them was Benny Hinn, right?
Yeah.
The miraculous healer dude, right? Why, in a country as diverse as the United States of America, for example, we're in Canada, but whatever, huge population of believers, right?
Huge.
Huge. Huge. Probably the biggest. Probably the biggest. Probably the biggest you'll ever see. Never once in recorded history has a limb been restored.
Never once.
Right? Spontaneous regeneration.
Yeah.
Never happened.
You think the creator of the universe could regrow a leg or an arm?
Yeah. Or actually restore someone's eyesight.
Yeah.
Like someone who actually was really truly blind. So the fuckhead in me, I want to do this. We missed it last time, but if Benny Hinn comes back to Toronto, I'll have to go into isolation for a little bit. And what I want to do is I want to fake him out. I want to pretend like I'm, and this is, maybe it's horrible.
You're going to hell.
Yeah. Well, okay. But I want to pretend that I have some kind of horrible disease or something like that, but it has to be a physical ailment. Like I can't walk or something, which you shouldn't make fun of, but I want to do it to expose his fuckery. And what I want to do is I want to get him to do, oh, yes, yes, yes. And then I want to stand up and then take the crutches away and then fall back over and say, I still can't walk. And just have him go like, what the fuck, dude? We talked about this backstage. You're totally supposed to fucking walk away and say how amazing God is. I want to do that. But anyway, that's probably not the right thing to do. But
they totally weed you right out of the process.
Yeah, they probably would. And how fucked up is it that they probably have a more intensive screening process for that than the White House does for its like its chief of staff and shit like that.
Than the White House does for the president?
Exactly. Dude, there should be somebody just in there. No, dude, sorry, you can't.
No.
Sorry. We've seen your videos. We've seen The Apprentice.
Yeah.
And we've decided
no.
No. Thanks, but no.
Don't call us, we'll call you.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So we got a couple things here now in our continuing series that I wanted to go through now. So the first one we were talking about, what the fuck was it called again? Oh yeah. Five honest struggles most church leaders don't want to admit.
Right.
So we talked about the setbacks in the ministry, right?
Mm-hmm.
God
mm-hmm.
looking at you personally. You're a fucker. Shit like that. So number two in this list is you believe that greater faithfulness should result in a greater impact for the ministry. And I got a couple things written down here about that. Where is it here? Where the fuck is it?
So greater faithfulness should have greater impact.
Yeah, I wrote some shit. Where the fuck is it?
I don't know. What's that over there?
No, that's not it. Hang on. Found it. Okay, I'll say it again. You believe that greater faithfulness should result in greater impact in the ministry. Ever tried to improve your personal devotional life so your church would do better? Gosh. I love fucking people write, gosh. I wish this wasn't true, But in the early days of ministry, I really thought a greater personal fervor would automatically translate into greater ministry impact. I'm all for a rich personal walk with God, but it's really not, you know, push the button, said God will do this thing and stuff like that to make my ministry better. In fact, you know, it may not be the right way to go. Pursue God and pursue a great mission. Both are critical, but God doesn't reward the most faithful with the best results.
Maybe they need, like, that was easy button.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. They need the fucking Staples button. So I'm going to quote a couple of people here that I really like and that I have a lot of respect for. First thing, personal thing, I think faith is fucking useless. And I'm going to throw out a couple of quotes that I absolutely love. Faith is the reason people give for believing something when they don't have a good reason. Matt Dillahunt.
That's exactly what it, that's the perfect definition.
Yep. And I also really like this one, is faith is the most dishonest position it is possible to have. And that is why I reject it. And that quote is by Aaron Raw.
Yeah.
I don't have any use for faith. Christopher Hitchens said, it's specifically faith because it's not knowledge.
Exactly.
If you have knowledge, you don't need faith. It's like sitting and waiting for something to happen. Oh, I have faith. Oh, I have faith. I have faith. If you wait long enough, something will happen. Something is bound to happen.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's going to be a good thing.
Well, yeah, they always say you have to take it on faith. You have to take it on faith.
Yeah.
And religious people always, like, they argue and they say, oh, you're taking a bunch of something, whatever it is, on faith. And it's like, no, we're not. It's knowledge. It's fact. It's falsifiable. It's testable. It's demonstrable. We know these things are true.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite ones, actually, is how someone, you know, a member of the faithful will try to hang faith on an atheist.
Yeah.
And say, well, you know, you take it on faith that the sun will come up in the morning. No.
No, I take, we have evidence.
And
we know exactly why it comes up in the morning.
It is a reasonable assumption. It's been doing it for throughout
recording. Even if we didn't know everything that we know today, it's a reasonable assumption that it will come up because it has been for the past 4 billion years.
Exactly. And if now that doesn't mean it's going to tomorrow.
No.
But it's a reasonable assumption
for
us to make that is not the same as faith. So sorry. Bullshit. Don't try to hang faith on the non-believer because it's not going to fucking work. You may have faith, and that may be fine. And how many times have you heard this? You know, why would you try to rob someone of their faith?
We're not trying to rob you of your faith. Just use your brain.
I don't necessarily think I'm not trying to rob people of their faith. Is it so horrible to take something from someone that can be shown to be, that can be shown to be bad for them?
Yeah. It's like taking away somebody's cigarettes.
Yeah.
Is that bad?
Yeah.
Why would you want to rob somebody of their happiness because they enjoy smoking?
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to improve their lives.
Yeah. And so I've had this discussion a couple of times. Oh, you know, don't take people. I saw a quote somewhere. It says, you know, it's a horrible man or a horrible person that would rob someone of their faith. And I don't agree.
Well,
they
make it sound by using the word rob.
Yeah.
Because it implies that you're taking something that you're not, that you shouldn't be.
Yeah. And I totally don't agree with that. Oh, hey. While I think of it, I want to share another story. I posted it on Facebook, but I want to share it here too. So, my wife and I, we had to go to Bed Bath & Beyond today.
How far beyond?
Far beyond. So we go to Bed Bath & Beyond. We had to look for a set of sheets. So we find a set of sheets, and my wife had to go to the bathroom. So I'm like, I'll see you in the car. So it's Sunday. So I'm wearing, of course, one of my atheist team t-shirts, which pretty much always wear anyway. Yeah. And in fact, the one you're feasting your eyes on right now, Dean.
Yes.
The one that says, I'm an atheist because I have read it. And on the back has numbers 20-28 on the back. So I throw the sheets in the back of the car. I go to get in the car. And as I'm doing that, this husband and wife are getting out of their minivan.
Yeah.
And they're walking around to the front of the minivan, and I'm in, like, plain sight. And they kind of talk to each other for a second. And the man turns to me and says, what's with your T-shirt there? What does that mean? And so I'm like, oh, okay, let's have a little fun. And I said, well, I think my shirt's self-explanatory. If you read it.
Can you read?
Exactly, you knuckle-dragging fuck. I didn't say that. And he says, well, I think you should keep those opinions to yourself. And it's so funny. So pause. When I was telling this story to my wife, she said, how ironic that he was expressing his opinion that you should keep your opinion to yourself. She's like, you should have thought of them. Like, I wasn't thinking about that. But anyway, she's much smarter than I am.
Why don't you keep your opinion to yourself?
Exactly. So, but what I did say to him was, I said, I think maybe if it's okay with you, I'll just wear whatever I want.
Yeah.
And then the dude says to me, he says, you're lucky I'm a non-violent Christian.
Wow.
And I was like, all right, motherfucker. And I looked at him, I said, don't let that stop you. And then his wife said something to him, and they walked away, and nothing happened.
So he was a nonviolent Christian.
I guess. But
or at least when his wife's around.
Exactly. Now, I'm not a very tall man. Like, I'm like 5'9",
mm-hmm.
something like that. But he was shorter than I was. Yeah. So I think he had angry short man syndrome.
Was he older?
He was my age-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like something an older person would say.
He was my age-ish. But, yeah, it was just very, like, but I think he had angry short man syndrome.
Yeah. Little Napoleon syndrome going on.
Exactly. So, yeah, it was just very funny. But, so I explained this to my wife when she got back in the car. She's like, really? And she's kind of looking around. I'm like, well, you know, they're gone. I don't know where they went. They went inside to Bed Bath & Beyond. And
let's follow them uncomfortably close.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm coming for you. Yeah. And so that was it. But I wanted to share that little story.
Awesome. When was this? Today.
This was today. Yeah. This was 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Nice.
Something like that. 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Yep. The bustling metropolis of Whitby, Ontario.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, the one on Thixon.
Yeah, just off of Victoria.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thixon, yeah. Okay. I was trying to think which one you were. Yeah, yeah.
So I used to play World of Warcraft a long time ago.
Yeah.
I haven't played in years. But, and I always giggle about this a little bit. So you know how they have guilds?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So one of the guilds in that was called Bloodbath and Beyond.
That's awesome.
It was really, really cool. I saw that, you know, because you see them... the people walking through, right?
Yeah.
You see
yeah.
their character's name and the guild if they have a guild name attached to it, if they choose to display it. I remember seeing that Bloodbath and Beyond.
That's
howled.
Great.
I stopped the guy. I think we were in Stormwind. And I stopped the guy and I was just chatting like, hey, dude, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I was typing on the keyboard for a few minutes.
Bloodbath and Beyond. Yeah, love it.
Loved it.
Gotta remember that.
Yeah, Bloodbath and Beyond. But it was funny. I don't know what would have been funnier. Bloodbath, one word, and beyond.
Yeah.
Or blood, space, bath, and beyond.
Yeah. Right? I think one word.
Bloodbath and beyond.
Yeah.
But bloodbath and beyond made me think more of the store.
Well, it's supposed to, right? It's a play on words. But if it's one word, that just makes it actually your
bloodbath.
And beyond.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's.
What was it? Was it one word? Their guild.
It was two.
Okay.
It was two. Very existential argument. Should it be one word or two? I don't know. All right. So now, in our continuing series of seven things the church pretends are biblical, number three, the service liturgy.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know that word.
Liturgy is like the basically the order of service, like how. Like beginning, middle, and end. It's like the order of operations.
Oh, okay. Okay. Life cycle?
Yeah. So, while some components of a Christian service are actually quite biblical, for example, Holy Communion and the Lord's Prayer. Now, it's funny. I wasn't... I It's been a long time. I wasn't 100% sure that Holy Communion was actually part of the Bible, but it's the part where he says, I often take this bread and eat it. This is my body. Body that new and everlasting, yada, yada, yaka, yaka, that kind of thing. So it is actually,
quite macabre. I mean, you're eating.
Eat my body.
Exactly.
Eat it.
Drink my blood. It's macabre and
morose.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to be cannibalistic to be a good Christian.
We have a fridge magnet downstairs that says it's a bunch of it's supposed to be like a bunch of cannibals sitting around a fire, and the cauldron is there.
Yeah.
And there's a clown in it. And one of the guys turns and says, "Does this taste funny to you?" Yeah. I guess you had to be there.
Yeah.
Lord's Prayer, etc. And the mainline denominations often base their liturgy on scripture. The actual service format, beginning to end, is really church-made. Really?
Yeah.
I had no fucking idea. There are no biblical references mandating an order of service. It would be great. You walk
in. It's just a bunch of books.
Okay, bye.
Yeah.
And then start. That would be really funny. Like do opposites day? If there are ever disagreements among church members, it isn't whether or not the wording of the service was incorrect. What people often protect is their order of service. What happens and when it happens. That is as important as how it happens. But there are no biblical sources for this format. I just made a couple of notes on this. Duh. Fucking religion is totally cultural. We completely make all this fucking shit up.
Yeah. The book itself was made up.
There's that. Ding. There's that. But we make it up to suit ourselves.
Yes.
It's like none of this shit. It's like everything about it. Religion is wholly cultural.
But I mean, even like the Bible is a collection of books. It's not going to tell you how to run a sermon.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, we... Everything from the stupid songs to the, you know, to the, like, the Catholic service has always been one of the funny ones for me, right? Because it's all, you know, like, you know, the Lord be with you and also with you and all that other
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah, the things that people are respond to
their,
and wrote.
Yeah, their format is incredibly structured. Like, ask and answer and all that other shit and stuff like that. I always find that really interesting. And I told you before, I never take part in any of that shit. Piss everybody right off. Fuck you. I ain't doing that shit.
Haven't been to church in a while, but the last time I went to a Catholic service with my wife, her family's Catholic and they do that stuff. So I stand up when I'm supposed to stand up and I turn around and I say what I'm supposed to say, but like I'm hating it the whole time. Like the first time I went, I was like, this is, you know, before I was as devout an atheist as I am now.
That's right.
But I was just like, my wife was just repeating when she was supposed to repeat and stuff like that. It's like, how do you know when to say this stuff? And she was like, she used to be an altar server and stuff like that. It's just
really?
Like, oh, yeah.
Is that where you serve altars? Altar server?
I don't know what they call it. Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
Oh, we should share that next week.
Well, we'll see.
Next week.
We'll try and get her on, yeah.
So the plan is, psst, everybody listen. The plan is next week. To have Dean's wife on to talk about some stuff. Yeah.
Because she is also an atheist, self-professed atheist, but her beliefs are slightly different than the common atheist.
There's quite an asterisk there.
She's spiritual.
But not religious.
No, she hates religion because of the way that she was brought up. But she still believes... I think she pretty much believes in ghosts. She believes in energies and the universe.
I believe in energy in the universe,
like,
too.
Like putting something out into the universe and it'll come back or whatever, like that kind of stuff. We try not to talk about it too much.
Is that like return on investment? You put something out there and you get it back with interest?
Well, yeah. I mean, we've talked about it and it's just like... I have rational explanations for what she is ascribing to the universe, right? But again, like we try not to talk about it too much because again, I don't want to. If she's getting something out of it, like something positive, mm-hmm. personally, out of the believing the way she does, then go ahead and believe it. She's not trying to change any laws. She's not trying to make people believe what she believes. She believes it to help herself, and that's fine.
So says Dean.
No, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, right, if it was somebody I didn't like.
Yeah, but we talked about this. You're not allowed to poo-poo on your wife. And so that's why
I didn't say that.
That's why. Exactly. Cleveland Steamers were not mentioned at all. No, but that's one of the reasons why if she does come on next week that I
will not be here.
That Dean will not be here and it will be his wife doing the episode with me. So she will hopefully definitely be here and she will go through the role of Dean will be played by Dean's wife. And we'll go through the whole thing and stuff like that. And I think it'd be really awesome. And
it would be awesome.
I want to have my wife on too. I'm a pussycat.
She's nervous though.
I'm a pussycat.
Yeah. Like a tiger's a pussycat.
But they are. They're feline. Okay, technical motherfucker. No, okay.
If she can come on and she puts all that stuff aside, and she said she wanted to do research because she doesn't want to come in here just with like what's in her head right now. She wants, because right. there's a lot of people that believe the same way, right?
Sure.
So she can, you know, come in with a little bit of knowledge. So she wants to do that research.
Yep. And one of the things that sticks in my head whenever I hear stuff like that, and I will, of course, as you know, I'll be perfectly respectful to your wife. But I'm Lawrence Krauss's quote just echoes in my head. I respect people, but not ideas.
Yeah.
Because some ideas are ridiculous. And I want to talk about some of those ideas. I am not so held or I don't hold on to so all of my ideas so fervently because my opinion changes with new information.
Exactly. Which is what any scientist must say.
And I'm not even a scientist.
If you bring more evidence to the table, it has to be considered, and it can change your opinions.
I like what...
your beliefs, your what you know.
Yeah. Who the fuck said it? I can't remember who said it. I'll have to find out who said it. But I was watching a discussion, and basically one of the interlocutors said... So if I convince you of something, you'll believe it. And the other person said, I'll have no choice. If you convince me of it, I'll have to believe it.
Yeah.
It won't be, I won't have an option.
Yeah. Yeah.
You will have convinced me. I have to believe it. And I'm very much the same way. If you convince me of something, I'll accept it.
Well, there was Richard Dawkins also brought this up in a couple of talks that he did, how a professor of his when he was in school, was teaching something and one of the other students or somebody else came up and said, actually, this has now been discovered and this is actually the way it is.
Yeah.
And the professor like brought the guy down and shook his hand and said, thank you for proving me wrong after all these years.
Yep.
Right. I mean, that's how it's done. It's like if new information is discovered, it needs to be taken into account.
No, it's very true. And I watched a debate between, there were a couple of people there, but there was Sam Harris and Deepak. I don't have any idea what I'm talking about.
God. That guy. Oh.
Now, he is a medical doctor. He is an endocrinologist and he's a nutbag. he has some fucked
not
up.
Not in that
ideas.
Order.
He has some fucked up ideas. But he was talking, they were at Berkeley or Caltech or something like that. And he was talking about like non-locality and all kinds of other stuff.
He says all these words and he has no idea what they mean.
And the funniest fucking thing. So Sam Harris, first of all, Sam Harris says, I would never dream of talking about these things in the way you're talking about them. He says, I am not a physicist.
Yeah.
You're not a physicist. We should not be talking about these things. He said, you know, we're in a room here at this university that could be filled with 100 other people that know 10 times more than you or I combined on this particular subject. And the best fucking part was during the question and answer, a physicist got up to the microphone.
Yeah.
and said, Deepak, I want to talk to this whole thing. And Deepak started spewing all this other stuff again. And the physicist got up to the microphone and said, I know what each one of those words means individually, yes, but the way you put them together don't make any sense.
Yeah.
And Deepak's like, and everybody's fucking howling, killing themselves laughing.
Yeah,
because the physicist said, you're full of shit. it was fucking brilliant. Okay, moving on. Brother, we haven't done a fallacy in a while.
Yeah, we haven't.
We got to get back to that. The one I picked for this week, which is from the book Logically Fallacious. Go pick it up. I still need to look up who the fucking author was. Google Logically Fallacious. It's a good book. It's a great resource. And you should pick it up and you should investigate it because we shouldn't use logical fallacies. The one I picked for this week is one that we, the royal we, atheists,
mm-hmm,
get saddled with a lot. And it's called begging the question. So it's also known as assuming the initial point or assuming the answer, the chicken and egg argument, and so on. So a description. And I want to read this slowly because it's, I don't want it to be misunderstood. I think sometimes I read through the fallacies too quickly. So the description, any form of argument where the conclusion is assumed in one of the premises. Many people use the phrase begging the question incorrectly when they use it to mean prompts one to ask a question.
Yes.
Which for years, I thought that's what it meant too.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I was wrong. That is not the correct usage. Begging the question is a form of circular reasoning. And the reason why I picked this one is because it is Christians and other religious people who use this so often, particularly presuppositional apologists.
Yep.
You watch guys like Cy Ten, Eric Hoven, and his nutbag of a dad, Kent, and Matt Slick. What a fucking name. Some of these guys who use these fallacies. And they like, so Matt Slick will say, God is the necessary precondition.
Yeah.
He presupposes God's existence. Dude, you are begging the fucking question. You are doing what you say the atheist does.
Yeah.
You are doing that. Psi 10 commonly says, well, I presuppose God because if you don't, your worldview is reduced to absurdity. He said that in the debate with Matt Dillahunty. He said it in other debates that I've seen him do. He uses it all the time. I fucking hate it. So the logical form is claims X and assumes X is true.
Yeah.
Okay. Example one. Paranormal activity is real because I have experienced what can only be described as paranormal activity.
Of course.
Right.
So it has to be real because you can't think of a different explanation.
Exactly. Which may also lead into the argument from ignorance. Explanation. The claim paranormal activity is real is supported by the premise I have experienced what can only be described as paranormal activity. This premise presupposes or assumes that the claim paranormal activity is real is already true. And so again, I go back. The religious, the faithful, not just Christians, but other members of other faith traditions as well, will try to hang this on the atheist. And they'll try to say, well, you're already, you assume there's no God. No, I don't.
No. I reject your assertion that there is one.
Exactly. And I'm waiting for you to demonstrate that one is real.
Yeah.
Oh, but God is a necessary precondition. Bingo. You have just walked headfirst into the begging the question fallacy.
Yeah.
And
circular reasoning.
Yeah, circular reason. The Bible is true because the Bible says the Bible is true.
Yeah.
And because the Bible says the Bible is true, the Bible is true.
Yeah.
So don't do that, people. I think it's really important. I think it's really, really important that we, as the non-believing community, don't engage. And I don't want to necessarily say this the wrong way. Fuck it, I'm going to say it anyway. We shouldn't stoop to their level. We should hold ourselves to a higher standard. We should hold ourselves to a standard they don't hold themselves to.
No, that's very true. I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's difficult when you're in the heated of a debate, though, with these people.
Yeah.
But you need to be vigilant and hold yourself to that higher standard so that you can always say that I use these higher standards when I argue. And they will know it too. They will walk away from an argument saying, fuck, he really had me there.
I think they'll say that to themselves, but I don't think they'd ever admit it.
Oh, no. Right. No, of course not.
don't think they'd ever admit it, but...
I did a quick lookup since we were talking about death in the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked it up, and Matt Slick.
Oh, Mr. Slick.
Yeah. From the... this is the source is the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry.
Carm.org.
.org, yeah.
Yep.
So death in the King James Version, which is the lowest number... Depending, because they give you four different versions.
Oh, cool.
So King James is 376 times the word death is mentioned.
Okay.
In the other versions, 443, 466, and 454.
What are the other versions? Is it like the NIV?
ESV, NASB.
Okay.
And NIV.
And New International. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I know everybody likes... I think most Christians, they like to stick with King James because it's the quote-unquote authorized.
Yeah.
You know, 1611 authorized version.
I was just looking at this list. They've got damn, damnation, and damned is mentioned zero in all but the King James version. It's mentioned three times in the King James version.
I wonder if that's just vernacular.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I would assume that that's simply vernacular.
And it says God.
You shall be damned.
God is mentioned. I'd say an average of 4,650 times.
Wow. Now, what's interesting is this. So, what was it the first time you said death was 400 something times?
In the New International Version, it's 454 times.
Now, what's the multiplier? Because every time death is, I'm sure that death isn't equal to one person.
Oh, right? No.
Put the citizens to death.
Yeah, exactly.
For example, could be hundreds or thousands of people.
Yeah.
Hundreds or thousands of people put to death. So, yeah, but definitely. Hey, we've said it before, and I'll say it again. Read the Bible. Please read the Bible.
Yeah.
Do not read it with help. Do not read it with,
Cole's notes.
Exactly. Sit down, start at Genesis 1, go all the way through, and just read it. And take it for what it is. Don't try to sugarcoat it, and don't listen to what anyone else tells you should be thinking it means. When it says X, take it for saying X. And because so often, people will say, oh, well, you have to understand the context. Fuck, no. If a man lays with a man as he does with a woman, yada, 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 put to death. What the fuck else does that mean?
Yeah.
That means that if you're gay, fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Please explain to me the context in which that is not put a gay dude to death.
Or the whole slavery thing. How much you can pay for them and how you should treat them and stuff like this.
Exodus.
In what context is okay to own people as property?
I think it's Exodus 22. I'm pretty sure it's either Exodus 21 or Exodus 22. Matt Dillahunty again,
who
I'm going to have to give special credit for in this episode at least, but goes through, I think it's on, he's got a great website, Iron Chariots.
Yeah, his Iron Chariots is great.
The Iron Chariots wiki, where he does like a breakdown. And I think it's Exodus 21. Now that I've said 22, I think it's Exodus 21, where he goes through and he gives an entire breakdown on how the Bible very explicitly and specifically says, this is how you buy them, this is how you keep them, this is how you trick them, and this is how they're yours forever.
Yeah.
And don't tell me about context.
Yeah. There's no context in which owning another human being as property is okay.
Yeah.
No context.
Yeah. In the Southern United States, it's probably still viewed as a totes thing to do. I don't know that for sure. But I could be right. Oh, brother. Well, just like that, we're at a fucking hour.
Wow, okay.
Can you believe that shit?
We got to try and keep these more succinct.
Well, we pretty much average an hour.
Yeah.
Except when we get off on a tangent. Sorry, when I get off on a tangent.
No, we both
I barely let you fucking speak.
It's hard to get a word in anyways around here.
Yeah. It's like I almost said something really bad. Not going to say it. No, 10-foot pole, please. No, I need to work on that better. I need to give you more airtime.
Oh, please.
No, I do. I do. Now, shut up. Okay, so that puts us just about an hour. I still had one story that I didn't get to, but I'm not feeling it. I may get to it. I may get to it next week. It's from Chandra Phillip, and it's about youth-oriented apologetics. But I'm not feeling it right now, so maybe right. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, well, whenever you feel like feeling it up, then we'll get to it.
All right. Well, I think that's enough trouble for us to get into for 1 week. So until we see you next time, I have been Michael.
I have been Dean.
And we shall see you later.
We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, and again, wait. Thanks so much to everyone listening from around this not flat earth.
Yes, please. Deepest, thank you.
Yes.
For hanging in there and listening to us.
Yes. All right. Take care, everybody.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been the CA. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please drop by the iTunes store and give us a review and subscribe to get the latest episodes as soon as they release. Just a reminder, the views expressed on this broadcast are solely those of the hosts and are for entertainment purposes only. Never take advice from two guys expressing an opinion on a podcast. That's just silly. See you back here soon.